As promised, it's time on the roundup now on this Monday afternoon for another episode of the Dudley Chronicles. Poor Reverend Kevin suffers from insomnia, and the more he tries to fight it, the worse it gets. Still, he's avoiding all temptation to resort to pharmaceuticals, which is no problem until the pressure starts to pile on. Episode 5 of the Dudley Chronicles by Greg Nelson is called Charlotte.
I've been having trouble sleeping. It's not a big deal, probably due to the usual factors, you know, stress at work, excessive caffeine intake after 11 a.m. It's your basic common or garden insomnia. Michelle thinks I should get a prescription. She told me to ask for the little blue pills. Apparently they're fantastic. You wake up, you've been drooling on your pillow, you can't remember your name. Or the yellow pills also are apparently good. Although she did mention that if I was going to take the yellow pills, I shouldn't mix them with tequila, not ever. Michelle has an interesting past. Raunchy, I think, was the word that she used. We tend not to talk about it because I find it a little upsetting. More than a little, actually. Anyway, point is, unlike Michelle, I'm not a pill person. Never have been, never will be. And as a result, last night, despite several championship rounds of sheep counting, I managed to sleep for a grand total of 0 minutes. Not 1 minute. Not a single minute. In the morning, I make my way to the Dudley Cafe. Sheila, to my dismay, is in a particularly chatty mood.
Sure, Reverend, paint a picture of me when I'm 55, still pouring coffee at the Dudley freaking cafe. Oh, God, that'd be so depressing. But I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, so what am I going to do, right? You're thinking I don't exactly have a lot of other marketable skills, right? You're thinking I should go back to school. We can just forget about that idea, because I just... Am I boring you, Reverend?
No, sorry, Sheila. I'm a little tired.
Actually, you don't look so good.
Thanks.
No, I'm serious. You look vile. You're all pasty and white. You got these big, dark circles under your eyes. You look like hell warmed over.
Thank you.
What, are you sick or something?
No.
Are you dying, Reverend? Have you got some kind of disease?
No, Sheila, I'm not dying.
Oh.
I have a little insomnia. It's not a big deal.
Oh, I know what you need. I got these little red pills. Oh, my God.
There's red ones?
Oh, yeah. Oh, they're amazing. I'll bring some in for you.
Yeah, I'm not really a drug person.
Yeah, that's what everyone says, till they try these. In the meantime, how about a nice cup of hot coffee? That'll wake you right up. I'll go make you fresh pot. Oh, wait. I forgot to tell you, Reverend. Phyllis called here looking for you.
Phyllis? Why?
She wants you to go see her.
Why?
Well, you gotta ask her that, Reverend. Do I look like a mind reader?
Not really.
Apparently, it's an emergency, whatever that means. You know Phyllis. I wouldn't worry about it too much. Oh, drink some coffee and then just go see her, okay? I'll be right back.
Oh. I rest my head on the table. It feels nice and cool against my cheek.
There he is.
Oh, and good. Reverend, you're here.
Hello?
We both need to talk to you, Reverend.
But it's not about the same thing.
Completely separate issues, although I'd say equally urgent.
Do you mind if I go first, Verna?
Be my guest.
Reverend, I need a favor. It's kind of a big favor.
Don't say no till you hear him out.
You remember I told you about my great niece, the bad one.
Charlotte.
Yeah, she's my sister's daughter. She's 17.
She lives in the city.
Well, I did a stupid thing, Reverend.
I'll say.
I was talking to my sister, gotta be 3-4 weeks ago.
Oh, at least.
And she's telling me how Charlotte's been getting into trouble again. And so I say she should come down to Dudley. That'd straighten her out.
Unbelievably stupid.
And now it's happening. Charlotte's coming for a visit by herself. And the thing is, Reverend, there's no possible way she can stay at my house.
She simply hasn't got the space.
And since you've got that nice spare bedroom, Reverend...
It's just a couple of weeks.
You'd be such a good influence on her.
You and Michelle.
What do you say, Reverend, please?
I stare at them. Normally, I would have plenty to say. In fact, I'd probably laugh hysterically for a while before refusing outright. But today, in my pathetic, sleep-deprived state... I simply don't have the energy.
Yeah, okay.
Wow!
Thanks, Reverend. Oh, you're the best. She's arriving this afternoon.
Today?
Okay, my turn. You're going to love this, Reverend.
He's going to love it.
You're kidding. He's going to adore it. I'm so excited.
Oh, wait, stop.
What's wrong?
I can't take it. Just, would you two excuse me?
Where are you going?
Reverend!
Reverend, wait!
Reverend! Hey! Not so fast! Hey, I just made you a fresh pot!
Phyllis lives on the edge of town. I'm hoping she'll be a little more relaxed, low-key, as it were. Just, you know, calmer.
Oh, Reverend. Oh, good. Oh, geez, thank gosh you're here, Reverend. I'm in a panic.
Hello, Phyllis.
I need some counseling quick. Can you make it fast, because I'm in a panic?
What's wrong?
Well, I can't tell you about it. I'm too upset. Can you just do your counseling quick so I can calm down and then I can tell you?
Phyllis, I can't counsel you until I know why.
Why what?
Why you need counseling.
That's a good point, Reverend.
Just take a deep breath.
Okay.
And out.
Out.
And in.
Yeah.
And out. Good. Okay?
It's Huckleberry. He's disappeared.
Who's Huckleberry?
He's my Shih Tzu.
What?
He's my Shih Tzu.
I don't know what that is.
He's my dog.
Oh, your Shih Tzu.
And I don't know what to do.
Okay, all right, Phyllis. I want you to listen carefully. Here's what I want you to think about, okay? Sometimes,
basically, I say whatever comes into my head. Huckleberry will come back, I tell her. Of course he will. And if he doesn't, it's okay. God will watch over him, as he does for all the many Shih Tzus in the world. I'm shameless. Luckily, she seems to buy it.
Okay? Okay?
Yeah, well, thanks, Reverend. I feel better.
You bet. Good then. I should be going.
Yeah, I was just worried because of the aliens.
The what?
The aliens. Haven't I told you about the aliens, Reverend?
I don't think you have.
Oh, geez. Well then, you better sit back down.
That night over dinner, Michelle and I tell each other about our respective days.
Apparently, they're about 4 feet tall and blue.
Really?
Yeah, and they have big yellow eyes, and at night, while she's sleeping, they come into her room, and sometimes they take her up to their spaceship and poke her with long metal prods.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's quite the image.
Yes, it is.
And she thinks they came and took Huckleberry.
That is her theory, yes.
Did she say what language they speak? Because that's the question I have about aliens. Do they learn English? Or do they somehow make you understand, you know, what alien? How did that work? I've never gotten that straight.
I just stare at her for a moment. I honestly can't tell if she's joking. Either because I'm completely exhausted or because she actually isn't joking.
I think you might be missing the point.
What point?
The point that who cares what language they speak? Phyllis is a total raving lunatic.
Are you saying you don't believe in aliens? I didn't know that about you.
Are you saying you do believe in aliens?
Of course I believe in aliens.
You do not. Stop it. How can you possibly... Oh, no. Oh, no. No, 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 no.
What?
No, Michelle, you're not going to put this in your paper.
I never said.
You don't have to say it. You've got that look. I know that look. I've seen that look.
What look?
That look, that hungry, wolfish tabloid look, Michelle. We've been through this. The Times of Dudley is a reputable, mainstream, you know, conservative newspaper. It's not a trashy supermarket. It's just not, you know, it's just...
Honey, you're getting a little hysterical.
I am.
Why don't you go upstairs and lie down?
Oh, that's not a bad idea.
Come on, I really think you need to get some sleep. Who could that be?
Reverend!
Sounds like Harold. Oh, no.
Door's open!
Oh, no.
What?
Oh, my gosh.
What?
I completely forgot.
Forgot what?
Hi, Reverend. Hi, Michelle.
Harold, hi. Come on in. Oh, hello there.
This is Charlotte, my niece.
Charlotte is dressed, head to toe, in black. She has heavy black eye makeup, black lipstick, and huge, scary-looking black boots that lace up to just below the knee. The only thing about her that isn't black are her body piercings, which are silver, and which number, on quick inspection, in the several hundreds.
Say hello, Charlotte.
She doesn't. She just glares at us.
Hello, Charlotte. I'm Kevin. This is Michelle.
Hello.
Charlotte's a little shy.
Would you like to sit down?
She doesn't move. Just glares. Just looks kind of homicidal.
Okay, well, I'll go get her bags.
Her what?
I'll be right back.
And then the second herald is gone.
All right, listen up. These are the rules. Nobody tells me what to do, or where to go, or what to eat. Nobody speaks to me unless I give them permission. I get a room to myself with a lock on the door, and I get the only key. You touch my stuff, and I'll kill you. I mean it. I'll kill you. I'll come into your room when you're sleeping, and I'll stab you to death and cut you up into little pieces and flush you down the toilet. Both of you got it.
At which point she goes back to the glaring.
Kevin?
Yes, dear?
Is there anything you'd like to tell me?
Harold asked if Charlotte could stay with us.
Really? Mm. And you said yes?
Uh-huh.
How long?
A couple of weeks.
Really?
Okay, here we are. Charlotte didn't bring much, did you, Charlotte? Just some clothes and this rather large portable stereo system and what looks like her entire CD collection. I'm sure she'll be an excellent house guest, right, Shoopy Doop? That's our family's pet name for her, isn't it, Charlotte? Shoopy Doop, ever since she was knee-high. Okay, well, off I go. Let you three get acquainted.
Harold, wait, Harold!
Call me if you need me. Bye now!
Your room is upstairs, Charlotte. First door on the right.
She doesn't hesitate. She picks up her boombox, which is, indeed, the size of a compact car, and stops up the stairs. And now it's Michelle's turn to look homicidal.
I forgot to tell you.
Yes, you did.
I'm sure she'll be fine. I'm sure that her bark is much worse than her, you know, her bite.
That night, things go from bad to worse. It's midnight, and Charlotte is playing her, quote, music, unquote. Michelle and I are lying in bed, staring at the ceiling.
You better go deal with this.
Me?
Yeah, I'd do it, but I'm scared of her.
So am I.
Yeah, but you're a fellow woman.
A fellow woman?
She's far less likely to, you know, stab you.
How about we both go?
Okay, but you do the talking.
We get out of bed and tiptoe into the hallway.
She's in the bathroom. Why is she in the bathroom?
It's the only room in the house with a lock.
Yeah, or else she's flushing someone down the toilet.
What's that smell?
Oh, my God.
Is that what I think it is?
Yep.
She's smoking
a dope
in our bathroom.
So it was me.
Oh, Michelle, this isn't funny.
You're right. I know.
Oh.
You better go in there and stop her.
Okay.
Or else see if she's willing to share.
That's not funny.
I know, I'm sorry.
Okay. Here goes nothing.
Charlotte, it's Kevin. Hello?
Knock louder.
Charlotte, open the door this second.
What? I love it when you do that, boy.
Stop it.
Charlotte, please, open the door.
She turned off the music.
Listen.
We press our ears up against the door.
Is she coming?
Shh.
For a moment, total silence. And then, on the other side of the door... We scramble back into the bedroom and shut the door.
Oh, my God, oh, my God.
Shh. Is she in the hall? Has she got a knife?
Shh.
Listen.
There goes the music.
You know what? Maybe we should leave it.
I agree.
We'll let it go. Just for the first night. Let her get settled in.
And then tomorrow we'll lay down the law.
Right.
Good. Okay, then. We get back under the covers, and we lie there, terrified, all night. Eventually, about 2 a.m., the music stops, and Charlotte goes to bed. Michelle drifts off, but I don't. I just lie there, wide awake. Wide. Wide. Awake. Next morning, we both sneak out of the house before Charlotte is up. Michelle goes to work at the paper, and I head into my office at the church. My plan is to do a little sermon preparation, despite my exhaustion.
Okay, all right. Focus.
Hey, Reverend. Can I ask you a question?
Sheila.
Where do you want me to file this correspondence?
I'm sorry?
Where do you want me to file this correspondence?
Sheila, what are you doing here?
Marla!
Why are you doing the filing?
Yes, dear.
You didn't tell him?
Tell me what?
Oh, well, I tried to tell you yesterday, Reverend, but then Harold went first, and then you had to go visit Phyllis, and then with Charlotte coming, I didn't have time.
I'm your new secretary.
Really?
Yeah, just while Verna's doing the thing.
Huh? What thing?
You didn't tell him that either?
I haven't had a chance.
Verna's planning something. She's not saying what.
It's a secret.
All she says is it's going to be big.
Bigger than big. It's huge. In fact, I have a meeting right now. I'll see you both later.
I know what you're thinking, Reverend.
Huh? You really don't.
You're thinking I can't do this job. You're thinking I don't have the skills.
Actually, I was...
I just don't know why you have to be so discouraging all the time, Reverend. Sometimes you're just not a very nice person.
What? Sheila, wait. Oh. Okay. That's okay. It's not a problem.
I turn back to the computer. As Sheila bangs around in the outer office, I try to focus. But the harder I stare at the words on the screen, the less sense they make. And then, they start moving around on their own, reorganizing themselves and joining together and forming little word armies, which then attack and capture me and torture me. Eventually, I give up and go to the Dudley Cafe for lunch. Michelle is already there, her nose buried in a big yellow book.
What you reading?
Oh, hi, nothing.
Aliens for Dummies.
Don't start with me, Kevin. It's a legitimate story.
It's not.
I have a source that tells me not only do aliens exist, but they're small, and they're blue, and she's seen inside of their spaceships. Now, according to the highest principles of journalistic ethics, all I require is a second corroborating source. And as soon as I have one, I'll print whatever the hell I like, and I don't care what your objections are.
I have no objections.
I don't want to hear it. You don't?
Print what you like. I'm too exhausted to give a damn. I only have one question.
What?
Where are you planning to find your second source?
I'm working on it.
Uh-huh.
Did you talk to Charlotte?
She's not home. I think she went out with Harold.
You're going to have to talk to her, Kevin.
Actually, no, I'm not. I changed my mind.
Oh, really?
A, she's Harold's responsibility, not ours. And B, she's 17.
So?
So, if she wants to smoke a little pot, then let her smoke a little pot, for Pete's sake.
Wow, you really are exhausted.
Besides, I hear it's, you know, it's fun.
You hear?
Yeah.
Wait a second. Are you saying you never smoke pot? In your life?
Michelle, I'm a minister.
Wow.
Not everyone has as raunchy a past as you do.
That is truly impressive.
Okay, who wants coffee?
Oh, yeah, you bet.
Sure. Hey, Sheila, what are you doing here?
What do you care, Reverend?
I thought you worked at the church now.
Yeah, I ran out of stuff to do there.
There's like 3 months worth of filing.
Yeah, I did all that. Then I taped up 83 pages of minutes, reorganized the computer system, created and implemented a database of membership statistics, and cleaned out the drawers. Then I got bored, so I picked up a lunch shift.
You did all of that this morning? How is that possible?
You know what, Reverend? I would love to stand around and chat all day and tell you about it, but some of us have to work for a living. Chucky, I'm still waiting on that cheese toast.
I think it's possible I may have underestimated that girl.
Michelle and I take the rest of the day off. We figure that since Charlotte has gone out with Harold, we'll have the house to ourselves for a couple of hours. I'm thinking nap. Big nap. Big, huge nap.
But Michelle, it seems, has other ideas.
Isn't that nice?
Okay, I have to sleep now.
No, wait, hey, what are you doing?
I'm rolling over, I'm going to sleep.
No, not so fast, Buster.
Michelle, I swear, if I don't get even 3 minutes sleep, I'm going to spontaneously just...
Charlotte!
Oh, no.
Charlotte! Are you in there?
Somebody kill me now.
In the bedroom, Harold!
Charlotte! Oh, my gosh, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay, Harold.
I'm turning around. I'm averting my eyes.
Harold, we're decent.
We're under the covers.
What's going on?
It's Charlotte. One moment she was there, and the next she was, whoosh, gone. Yeah, how's that possible?
Harold, calm down.
I'm in a panic, Reverend.
Start at the beginning.
Well, we're out in the truck. I thought she might enjoy a tour of Dudley and surrounding area. And everything's going fine. We're chatting away. Well, not chatting exactly. I'm talking, and Charlotte's sort of grunting from time to time.
That sounds right.
And I wanted to show her my favorite slough.
Yeah, what?
My favorite slough.
You have a favorite slough?
Well, sure, Reverend, don't you?
I have a favorite slough.
And so we get out of the truck, and we're walking across the field. And I'm up ahead, and she's behind me. And suddenly I have the strangest feeling, and I turn around.
And she's gone.
Whoosh.
Whoosh?
Yeah, just into thin air.
Kevin.
Don't say it.
The aliens.
Michelle, it was not the aliens.
What aliens?
There aren't any aliens. Look, Harold, Charlotte's just yanking our chain. She doesn't want to be in Dudley, and she's making us pay for it. We'll give Constable Bob a call, and I'm sure he'll find her at a bar somewhere, drinking with some, you know, truckers.
Is that supposed to make me feel better?
Believe me, Harold, Charlotte can take care of herself.
He's right.
Well, I guess so.
The best thing we can do is wait here. And when she does turn up, we won't even be worried. We'll pretend it was no big deal. Okay?
Okay. Thanks, Reverend.
But Charlotte doesn't come home that afternoon. Michelle and Harold sit in the kitchen, drinking coffee and waiting. I decide that until I get some sleep, I won't be of any help. And so I crawl back upstairs and into bed. I snuggle into the covers and close my eyes. And something incredible happens. I fall asleep. For several hours, I sleep like a dead man. And then, for no apparent reason, I suddenly wake up. I can't move. I'm paralyzed in bed. And there's someone in the room.
Michelle, is that you?
The person, or thing, starts approaching the bed. I'm terrified.
Stay away. Don't come any closer. Oh, my God. I can't move.
And then there's a blinding flash. And whoosh, everything changes. Next thing I know, I'm in a bright place with lots of chrome and glowing instrument panels. I'm lying on a cold steel table, and all around me are little blue men with large yellow eyes. I manage to turn my head to the right, and there, across from me, on another steel table, sitting upright, panting slightly, and staring at me with his little beady eyes, is Phyllis's dog.
Huckleberry?
And then, incredibly, Huckleberry opens his little Shih Tzu mouth and starts talking.
Hello, Reverend.
Oh, my God! Charlotte! Is that you?
How are you doing, Skidmark?
And then, in another instant, and I'm back. Back on Earth. Back in bed.
Kevin? Are you okay? I thought I heard screaming.
I'm fine. I just had the strangest dream.
Oh. Well, good news. They found Charlotte.
Oh, they did?
Yeah. She tried to hitchhike back to the city. Got halfway to Medicine Hat where the cops picked her up. Constable Bob and Harold are on their way to get her.
Is she okay?
Yeah, she's fine. Oh. Except for one thing.
What?
Well, either she's been smoking something particularly potent, or else she has a very strange sense of humor, because instead of talking, she's barking like a dog.
Suddenly, I feel faint.
Oh, my gosh.
Kevin, Well, are you okay?
It wasn't a dream.
What?
They've done a switch.
You have.
The aliens. The aliens. They came into my bedroom and they took me up to their spaceship. And that's where I saw Huckleberry. Except it wasn't Huckleberry. No, it was Charlotte. And she was inside Huckleberry. And then she called me a skid mark. I saw it, Michelle. I was there.
I was inside the alien spaceship.
She looks at me for a long moment. And then she smiles.
Do you mind if I get my notebook?
And so it is that I become Michelle's corroboration, her second source. I convince her, just barely, not to use anyone's real name. When her story hits the front page of the Dudley Times, it causes a sensation and sells out every copy. A couple of days after that, Huckleberry shows up, barking to beat the band on Phyllis's front porch. Charlotte starts talking again, or grunting at least, and actually warms up a little. She moves out of the manse and onto Harold's couch. The only person who isn't happy, not surprisingly, is me. Once again, I can't sleep. I lie awake, waiting in terror for the little blue men to make their reappearance.
Kevin, go to sleep.
I can't.
Try. All right, that's it.
What are you doing?
It's time for desperate measures.
What the heck?
It's time, my friend, for the heavy artillery.
Is that what I think it is?
Confiscated from Charlotte's room. If this doesn't relax you, nothing will.
Here, take a nice big hit.
Oh, Michelle, really? I don't...
Do it!
Hmm? Okay, there goes nothing.
She's right. It works. I sleep like a baby. In the end, the only thing that overcomes my ethical and professional misgivings is the knowledge that I'm finally earning my stripes. For the first and possibly last time in my life, I am, without question, a little bit raunchy.
Dudley Chronicles, created and written by Greg Nelson. In the cast, Richard Side played Kevin, Jillian Fargy played Michelle, Bridget O'Sullivan is Verna, and Lee Taylor is Harold. Sheila is played by Tabitha St. Germain, with Donna Carol White as Phyllis. The terrifying Charlotte, played by Aaron Wells. Original music composed and performed by Brian Tate. Dave Carley was the script consultant. Chris Cutress, the recording engineer. Dagmar Kafunkanen, the associate producer. It was produced and directed by Kathleen Flaherty. Damiano Petipolo is the executive producer. You can order this drama on CD. The cost is $21 for two episodes, $40 for the entire series of 6 half-hours. Here's a number to dial to order. It's 416-205-5966. 416-205-5966, and they'll give you all the information when you call about ordering the CD. That's all the time we have for the roundup for this afternoon at CBC Vancouver. I'm Bill Richardson. Tomorrow on the program, a conversation with William Whitehead, who was the companion of Timothy Findlay for some 40 years, and has just compiled a series of his writings about traveling, psychic traveling, physical traveling. It's called Journeyman. William Whitehead tomorrow on the roundup. See you then.